This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And you are listening to 107.7 FM, WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And we are in studio with the one and only Charlie Sherman.
I bet you if you Google that name, there's like 20,000 Charlie
Shermans. Yeah, most of them are dead. That's the only problem.
Jeepers, guys.
Well, it's funny.
It's a common name in funeral homes, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, really?
My wife did it one day. She said, there's a million Charlie Shermans online, but they're all dead. It's all obituaries. Like, wow, thank you.
Well, Charlie is the executive director of New Horizons here in Manchester and also the 5 and 5:30 evening anchor on WBIN here in up in Concord, but in 1.8 million homes. And as people always say to me, Charlie, you've got a face for radio. We can say that you've got a face for TV.
Oh, you are just too kind. Yeah, and there's no work done there. It's amazing. It's a lot of makeup, though.
So it's you'd have to get made up for radio, though.
Well, I want to look good for you guys.
Very, very kind.
What do they say? If you look good, you feel good.
That's right. So that is right.
Plus, I love coming to this studio, by the way. I've done Kenny's show 3 or 4 times. I love this studio,
Thank you, Carol.
This is fantastic. What a great addition to downtown, too.
Typically, we would have food to offer our guests, but today all we can do, Charlie, is offer you a stick of butter.
That's it.
What do you think?
I don't think my cardiologist would approve.
No. I know. You know, we feed the mayor, Gantz's, every other week here.
You see that little bottle? He'd eat that. The hand lotion? Doesn't matter. Teddy will have it. You know, it's funny. Cause Teddy's one of my better friends. He'll get mad. He's one of my best friends. And after he had the, what do you call, six bypasses?
I think it was.
Six
of them. Septuple or whatever.
So I said to him one day, we're going to the chop house. And I said, you're not going to eat a steak, are you? He said, well, of course. I said, Teddy, you just had 6 valves replaced. He said, yeah, but I'm okay now.
Oh,
Teddy, come on.
He does watch what he eats, though.
And yeah, he watches it go down.
Yeah. No.
Whoa. He's
Mayor
a little bit better.
I am helping you here. I am trying to help you.
He's a little better. He stays away from as much of the fried food than he used to, but he still eats. I mean, he's not going on Jenny Craig anytime soon.
Not hanging out with us and you. That's for sure. Well, of course, the real purpose of your visit today is the Walk Against Hunger, which New Horizons uses, I'm going to guess, is one of the biggest fundraisers.
It is our second largest fundraiser of the year. Our biggest is the Thanksgiving breakfast every year at the Radisson, which is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. But the walk is obviously, we do it in May, because this is a tough time of year to raise money. People are wonderful. The fourth quarter of the year, the holidays, everybody wants to help and everybody makes donations, year-end donations, whatever. But come to the first quarter, the first few months of the year, it's tough, especially this time of year. People are starting to think about schools getting out. They're thinking about the vacations and revenues just come to a halt. So to do this event in May at this time of year is critical to our operation. I was just speaking at a different group, and somebody said to me, you know, what's the cost to run New Horizons? My budget's $1.3 million, which is $3,000 a day. And of that $1.3 million, we receive, I'm embarrassed to say, $30,000 from the city of Manchester for the services that we provide. I don't think that's adequate, and I tell Teddy that all the time. And we receive about $200,000 from the state through HUD, and that's about to be cut in half. So the other million we have to raise through fundraising, and it's a lot of $35 checks in the mail. We don't have anybody who writes big $100,000 donors, and so it's a grind. I love doing it. I love what I'm doing, but it's, you know, talk about burnout sometimes. So this is a big one for us, and hopefully it's going to be a beautiful day. It's this Sunday. It's the 25th annual. It's our silver anniversary of the Walk Against Hunger, and hopefully we'll have we've got a record number of teams signed up. A team is any group of 10 or more, and we've got a record number signed up. First time ever that we've got 40. Actually, we have 41 teams signed up. So I've been trying to stress the importance of, especially with the potential cuts in funding, that this is really an important fundraiser for us.
So, for people that are out there that still want to do the walk, are they still able to do it? So, can you give information on?
Yeah, if you want to register in advance, you can do it online at our website, which is a mouthful, newhorizonsfornh.org. And that's spell out for F-O-R, newhorizonsfornh.org. Or you can sign up the day of the walk. We just ask a minimum $10. A lot of walks have, $500, $250 to walk. $10, we just want to cover the cost of the T-shirt. And we've stepped up. We're giving those nice tech shirts this year to the walkers. So they're really kind of a neat shirt. That includes your lunch. We have a lunch after the walk. It's only a 3K?
It's three miles.
Right. We've shortened it. It used to be a 4-mile walk. Yeah. And a couple of years, you get a lot of older folks who do it and are supporters of us. And, if you get a really hot day, we have vans that drive around picking people up. And I said one day to Michelle Casale, who's our development director, I said, why do we do 4 miles? That seems awful long for a walk. And she said, I don't know. We always did 4 miles. So this is the first year we've cut it back to a 5K or 3 point. My math isn't.
Yeah, it's exactly 3 miles. All right. We'll let it
slide. Is that what it is, 3 miles?
Yeah, because it's 0.6.
Okay.
So just multiply 5 times
0.6. I
wouldn't
know that.
Thank you, Carol. I feel better now.
Yeah.
So it's only a 3-mile walk. We shorten it, and there's music. We have Zumba instructors up there trying to get people loosened up beforehand. And
so on Sunday, where do people go?
11 a.m. Veterans Park, 11 a.m. registration.
And this Sunday.
Yep, this Sunday, and we walk at noon, and the mayor comes and kicks it all off. And
is he going to walk?
Disappears.
And then disappears.
That answers that
comes
question.
Comes for lunch.
Yeah. Takes you right on Hanover down to the chop house.
Shows up again at 1 when lunch is on.
Be nice, you guys.
He kills me when he's on the air. So it doesn't, it's time to get a little revenge on my friend.
Yes.
Registration is at 11 o'clock. It's just, $10. We love folks who show up just that day to walk, and lunch is served afterwards, and it's just a nice day, and it's over by 1 o'clock, 1:15. You're done. You grab a couple of hot dogs and some watermelon, and if you want to just head off, it's not a big part of your day, but it's a real important day for us.
Sure, and I love the fact that you're not committing your whole day to it.
Exactly,
I'm thinking of Boston's Project Bread. That walk every May is like 13 miles.
Yeah,
I did that one year when I worked in Boston. And that's like, not only you're giving up your whole day for a great cause,
but
you're not going to be able to walk for 4 days, for God's sake.
That's true, too.
Well, my
age
anyway. Not yours. You're just a kid, Charlie.
From your lips to God's ears, yes. We try and make it so it's not, you're not killing your whole Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, 1:15, you're pretty much done and on your way.
The stats I read, and maybe they're different now, that you're feeding like 900 families or whatever a month. Is that about where it stands?
In the food bank. No, I don't work for the food bank. It drives me crazy. People say to me all the time, Charlie, how's things at the food bank?
Yeah.
I don't work at the food bank.
Well, Melanie's coming in next.
Yeah. So she can answer that one.
Yeah.
But in the in our food pantry, which is the largest in the state, we provide groceries to over 900 families and individuals. I know Carol toured a year or two ago, and like most people, I said, wow, this is pretty big.
Great tour.
It's a big food pantry. And the soup kitchen, we're averaging about between 225 and 275 hot meals every day, every night. In the shelter, we're down a little bit right now because of the time of year, but we're still 75 people last night. But during this winter, which was, as we all know, brutal, we actually had to, again, I'll thank my friend the mayor, helped us in opening up the old police station as an overflow shelter on three different occasions in the city. And Kevin Healy, who's the emergency management officer for the city, really was helpful. And each one of those times we opened, we had at least 25 people in the overflow to go along with the 100 people that we had at New Horizons. So it's been a tough winter. We're finally winding down a little bit. The numbers are starting to go down a little bit. So it's but, we haven't seen our numbers drop significantly. I wish I could sit here and say, you don't need our services anymore. But the numbers are still higher than I would like them to see. But it's, again, for a lot of people, it's a safety net in the community. And, of all the things I've done, and as you guys know, between radio and TV and my previous career at Indian Head Bank for 14 years as a banker, this is truly the most worthwhile thing that I've ever done. And it's very rewarding. And I love doing it. It's great work, not just because it makes me feel good, but you see people at their lowest point, and that hurts. And to be able to help them at that point is very rewarding.
So as executive director, you have to call upon your creative talents and the people in the community, the relationships which you've built as a banker, as a broadcaster, as a public figure all these years. It seems like a good match for your
really
position.
It really is. When the position became vacant, I've done a lot of, as you have done as well, and you and Carol, doing a lot for other charities and other nonprofits. And I had always wanted to run a nonprofit. And it was kind of on my bucket list, but it had to be a right fit. And I was approached by some other well-known organizations to, work in the development department and do things of that nature. But I wanted to use my banking background. It's always kind of been in the background. I spent 14 years. I was a vice president with Indian Head Bank. It's something I've always been proud of, being a dummy from Chelsea High.
with no math skills.
Believe me.
No, you got it.
No. When I went to my 10-year reunion, I was class president. When I went to my 10-year reunion, everybody's going around saying, what are you doing? Well, I'm a fireman. I'm a cop. And Charlie, what are you doing? I said, I'm a vice president for a bank. He said, no, really, what are you doing? I said, really? I don't want to put my money in that bank. but anyway, so it's I digress. I forgot where I was.
Well, it's been a gratifying job.
Yeah, it's very gratifying.
And I bet you're working harder at this one, than the others
absolutely.
In terms of numbers of hours spent.
It's an emotional roller coaster because there's the really good days and then there's the really bad days when you see people who are, just coming in looking for some help and it breaks your heart. And then, you get somebody comes in the next day and says, thanks so much. You guys really helped me when I was at my lowest point and we're back, the family's back together. We're back on our feet. So it's an emotional roller coaster, but it's really good work. And it's, I was saying when I was offered the position and it kind of fit everything I wanted to do. I wanted to do something in Manchester. I wanted to do something where I could use those banking skills, use the relationships from the TV station and from the radio station and, just kind of do something that's worthwhile that I believed in. So it's been a perfect opportunity. It's been almost four and a half really good years. And I want to continue it. I really enjoy going to work every day.
All right. So for those that may be confused and turn on the news tonight after hearing this interview, and Charlie's on WBIN, New Hampshire One News, at 5 and 5:30, you say, wait a minute, he's working for New Horizons.
Double dipping.
What's the deal here? Did he just quit after he was on with Carol and Mike?
Yeah, right.
So what's up with that? You're the weekend guy now. You're on every night?
Exactly. When Bill Binney put the TV station on the air back in September, he called me, which I was flattered because I figured it was, 10 years ago. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
It was
sports guy on 9,
yeah,
for those that maybe don't know.
14 years, and it was a colorful exit, to say the least. A front page above the fold. It's not always good news.
That's a very good way to put it.
So it was, and I figured, it took me a while to get over the fact because it ended pretty ugly. But I had accepted the fact that, it was a great run and it's over. And now I'm doing other stuff. And so Binny calls me out of the blue and says, I'm starting a news project and I'd like you to join us. And I said, Bill, I'm an old guy. It's a young kid's business. and plus, I've kind of gone in different directions. And finally, we agreed that I would do weekends, and because it's only at 10 o'clock, so I didn't have to be there till 6 o'clock, and I still had my all day on Saturday, Sunday. The other side of it is 7 days a week doing that, and I'm an old guy. I'm not the spry kid anymore. But I was having fun. I had a blast, and then about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call, and they said, what do you think of maybe doing the 5 and 5:30? And I said, well, let me talk to my board, president at New Horizons, because I don't want to leave there. And we kind of reached an agreement that I would go in a little bit earlier, make sure my work gets done, and head out about 2:30 so I could get to the TV station about 3. And again, we're trying it out right now to make sure that I can still do the real job, the one that counts the most. I love the TV business, don't get me wrong, but I'm going into it this time a little bit different. It's funny because when I met with Binny and I said to him the first time, I said, Bill, you need to understand the difference between me and everybody who's kissing your fanny who wants a TV job is that I don't need to do this. I'd like to do it because it'll be fun. It's kind of like, doing this for you, Mike. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different than when it's your sole job.
True.
So and I think he appreciated that. For me, it's been a blast to go back and do TV, but it's not that I need to do that. If it doesn't work out, you know, after 30 days and we shake hands and say, you know what, it's interfering with my work at New Horizons, or it's not the fun that it used to be, then we shake hands and we part friends. So it's a lot different than it was in those 14 years at Channel 9 when, you know, had to pay tuition and pay the rent with
all right. All you budding broadcasters, 30-day notice
there
here.
There you go.
The job could be opening in June. Yeah,
line up at the door.
But as a lifelong broadcaster myself, and you for most of your adult life, it's an itch you have to scratch.
It is.
I mean, let's be honest about it. It's just there's something about being on the air and enjoying the people you meet that like your work that
Absolutely.
Is somewhat intoxicating.
I go back to, and I've had this conversation with other broadcasters, our mutual friend Dirk Nadon and Clark Schmidt and some of those guys. I used to, as a kid, go down to Revere Beach and before you get stabbed and watch the old WBZ Sundex studios. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Bradley would broadcast live and Dave Maynard. Or I used to go to Park Square in Boston and they had a studio like this. This is why I love this studio so much. That was right in Park Square, the old WEZE. And they had, you could stand, and I'd stand at the window as a kid watching the DJs. And I said, that's what I want to do. I mean, I wanted to be in radio or TV since I was in the fourth grade. And to be able to live your dream, even though it ended kind of ugly at Channel 9, but to be able to live it and doing radio, you know, I filled in for 7 years at BZ for Gil Santos and for Alan Siegel doing sports. And the first time, before they went all news, first time I get down there filling in on a weekday, and I look across the glass and there's Dave Maynard. And he's tossing it now, WBZ Sports with Charlie Sherman. And it's like, oh my God. It's like, I've done it.
Your childhood was coming to life.
Absolutely. Cool.
Yeah. So I've had, you know, far more thrills than I've been entitled to in this business. And but the itch is still there, and you still scratch it when it comes along. It's, you know, it's just something that you love the business. And you're the same way, Mike. I know you are, because you've loved every minute of it.
44 years.
Yeah. And you're retired, and look what you're doing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I knew I would. Just like you probably knew at some point you might be touching, you know.
I don't know. I thought it was over. I really did. I thought it was over.
In light of how you exited, yes, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But you know what? The public is forgiving.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Unless your name's Tom Brady. Yeah. But that's a whole different story.
Even my wife forgave me.
Oh, geez.
Because it was tough on the family. Again, it was very public.
What was it like to go out in public, and were people just tiptoeing around you?
It was
because it was very, very well
known. It was very public, and it was ugly, and, you know, you don't just walk out and put it in writing and tell your boss where to go. You know, after it happened, and, you know, everybody called us, what are you doing? You can't walk out. You love your job. And you love what you do. And I had a 5-year contract there. I was the only one there with a 5-year contract that paid me far more than I ever should have been paid, believe me. And, you know, when it happened, I had walked out, and I went to the only typewriter in the building because I'm old school, and I type, I quit, and I threw it on the news director's desk, and I went home, and everybody's calling for 2 days. What are you doing? It's on the front page of the Union Leader. We love Charlie. He can come back. The door stays open. So 2 days I cool off, and I called up the general manager, and I said, all right, I apologize. And he said, yeah, it's too late. And I said,
wow.
But it says in the front page of the Union Leader, the door remains open. He said, yeah, the door's closed now. So, you know, that hurt a lot.
Sure.
And so I went to, this is great, I go to a local labor lawyer here, and I give him my contract, and he looks it over. He says, Charlie, they owe you 3.5 years. You know, you're in good shape here. He said, you didn't sign anything, did you? I said, well, I typed one line. So what'd you do with it? I said, I threw it on the news director's desk. He said, yeah. He said, you know, I've always been a fan. I get $500 an hour. He said, this is a freebie because you got nothing. So that I went home. I had to tell my wife that. And that was very painful.
And you had kids that would be going to college.
Yeah, exactly. And so, it was. And then you were out there. And again, everybody's whispering. I mean, the stories that were out there were beyond imagination. You and Tom Griffith hated each other. You were having an affair with one of the other people.
I heard it was Amanda Ober. Is that true?
I see her in Orlando all the time.
Yeah,
you know, she's still a WCSH down there. I mean, the rumors were, you've got a disease and you can't be on TV. It was so bizarre. But and people would tiptoe around because they were afraid to ask, you know, what's going on. And it was very hard. The first, I would say it was at least a year before I had accepted. because we didn't want to move. I mean, I initially sent out some tapes and resumes. And like, I had a nice offer in St. Louis. I was 50 years old, 49, whatever it was. You know, we flew out there and they interviewed us and it was great. And my wife said, "You don't know anybody out here. What if you fail out here? You know, your shtick might not work in St. Louis. St. Louis is the market that brought a Zip Zeppa, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
Crazy sports guy cracked an egg on his head on Channel 7. They sent him back to St. Louis. And we just said, you know what, New Hampshire's home. So that was all hard. And, you know, again, everybody kept saying a door closes, another one opens, and it all happens for a reason. I was ready to punch people in the nose every time they said it. And, you know, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. But I look back and say, if hadn't that happened, I wouldn't have had the opportunity at New Horizons to do, I'd like to think, something good. And, you know, now the door opens to do some more TV stuff. So it's,
you've come full circle.
Yeah, you really do.
Lessons learned.
Life is interesting.
No more "I quit" notes from the old.
No
typewriters in that building. I checked. So you're safe, Charlie.
It's funny. Benny said to me, you know, if we do this, you got to be a good boy. And I said, you know what? I've kind of learned. It was an expensive lesson, believe me.
Well, I had the same conversation with Kurt Gowdy when I went to work for his station in 1986.
WCGY.
I had been working in Boston doing mornings at hot shot hit radio station. That didn't work out. We were kind of the bad boys of the market, Brad Krantz, my partner, and I. So we met with Kurt Gowdy, and the only thing he said to me was, "Boys, just don't get me in trouble with the churches." That's all he said.
And you were a good boy.
I was not a good boy, but I did not make fun of the St. Patrick's Cathedral. Anyway, so we need to wrap up, and you kind of brought it back to New Horizons a moment ago. Let's recap the Walk Against Hunger this Sunday.
Coming up this Sunday at 11 a.m. registration, the walk kicks off at noontime right at Veterans Park in downtown Manchester. If you would like to just register there that day individually or with a group, again, all we ask is a $10 donation to cover the cost of the T-shirt, and we would love to have as many people show up as they can.
But they can very well give more money to donate to New Horizons.
We hope they will, absolutely.
Which is the whole purpose of the walk. So, Well, Charlie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol. It's nice to see you as always.
Very nice to see you.
Always a pleasure. And thank you for sharing some very personal and painful at the time stories.
If I could write like you do, I'd write a book, but I can't. Oh. You know, again, Chelsea, hi.
Well, Mike can write it for you.
Ghostwriter.
50 Shades of Tan. I love it. Thank you, Charlie. Sure.
Thank you, Mike and Carol.
Executive
appreciate it.
Director
thank you
Rises.
So much. Yes. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought, and up next is my dad. He's going to be talking prime rib, I believe. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Food for Thought on The Pulse, WTPL 107.7. Along with Carol Lawrence, I'm Mike Moore, and our sponsors include Express Jewelry Center on South Main Street in Concord, also Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry, and the famous Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now with the drive-through in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. And all part of that heritage, of course, Carol Lawrence, the owner of Red Arrow Diners, and her dad in studio with us today.
He is. And welcome, Dad, because you've been a little bit under the weather the past like few weeks, and we've been getting you in here and there.
That's what happens. It seems like there's a lot to do. Even today, busy day. My gosh.
Well, that's good. You got your traveling to do. Go out to Milford and then over to Exit
Check it
5.
All out.
And
he's not a sit-at-home guy, is he?
No. No. And that was his problem when he had his surgery.
Yeah.
He did not like to stay at home. And he got up and out too soon.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
So next time you know Carol, you got to strap him to the chair.
I know.
That's easier said than done.
It's hard. It is. I'll bet.
It is. Very hard.
So what is Midtown's going to be serving something tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Yes, we're going to cook a prime rib.
Whoa.
And it's nice. It should be excellent.
Because the last time you were here, we talked about how to cook
about
your prime
doing
rib.
It,
we did
right.
We did the prime rib. But just to let listeners know that you'll be, not a prime rib dinner, you're going to be doing prime rib
sandwiches. The nicest way here. It's Midtown Cafe. We'll have all that great flavor and cook it off. Bring it out at 110 to 115 degrees, and it should be perfect. And we dunk it. We slice it off.
So it'll
with
be
the
like
slices.
A prime rib
sandwich
with au jus.
Right. We'll dunk it in that, and you know, that way you can get it. If they want it well done, you can. If you want it just that way, or you just want a little bit of natural juice. And we're going to use a Red Arrow roll. That roll.
Oh, our hamburger roll for the Red Arrow is a really good roll.
It makes the hamburger, so it's going to really cap off the prime rib. So I can't wait. I'm going to get it all ready tonight. Bought it yesterday. Like everything else. Boy, those son of a guns went up.
Yeah.
Hey, $154 for a prime rib.
Yikes.
How many?
See? Wow. I'm thinking big spender, you know, $80, $90, $100. You know, this must be $110 by now.
All right, so how many servings if you're getting a couple slabs?
Yeah, that'll be quite a few.
Worked it out?
I figured it out. Now, look, if you're going to pay it off for a sandwich, you've got to get a good serving.
Yeah.
Or they don't come back. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Oh, you're look right around, about right? that. Sure.
If you make it, well, it's enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough. So, but anyways, I figured out there's 27 servings. All there is.
Really?
That's at 6 to 7 ounces. There's a shrink factor. There's, you know, sure. all kinds of
all right,
stuff.
So if I get here by 11:30, do you think I will be among the first 27 people?
No, I think we'll be all right.
Okay.
You know, I really do. I really do. We have to bump it a little bit. You know, I made it at 875, but I'm trying to justify it. I know anyways it has to be $9.95.
Not going to make that much on it.
And $10.99.
Right.
But we also give a free soda, free side.
Yep.
Fantastic roll, not a junk roll. So, you know, it's a very, very good value here tomorrow in Midtown.
Yeah, definitely.
Very nice.
All right, I want to start a pool as to what time we think it's going to sell out. Because when word gets out.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
right. So
nice.
Prime rib sandwiches at Midtown tomorrow.
Yep.
I love that.
I'd say like probably 120.
120?
120.
Yeah. I'd say the same thing. Yeah, because although we get busy at 1, that's what cranks really hard.
How much of a factor is the weather? If it's a really lousy day, do you get less foot traffic in here, or doesn't
no,
it really matter?
No, sunny is better here.
Okay.
Some reason, I think on a cloudy, rainy day, they head home for the kids, or I don't know.
Okay.
They're not right
well, they just
vibrant.
They don't walk. They don't.
That's true.
I don't think
there you
they
go.
Come out and walk when it's.
I always say, I can't figure out where they are today.
Right, yeah. I'm going to check the weather forecast, and then I will give you my guess.
Oh, it's raining. No, it isn't
tomorrow,
bad tomorrow.
No, tomorrow.
Partly cloudy.
Breezy, and a high of only 63. Yeah. So that's not
ooh,
bad.
That's
not bad.
Real,
that's not good.
Roast beef day.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with 104.
104.
Yeah. I'm going to go for 130.
And Carol says 120, huh? If I have to buy 10 sandwiches to make it happen, I'll.
Should be fine.
How often have you done this before with Midtown?
No, never
yeah,
did.
Yeah, we've never
that's
done a prime
that's
rib sandwich.
That's a great special kind of treat for people that are in the know and aware.
That's what
of it.
We do. It's a yeah. treat, mm-hmm. and it makes people talk.
True, and you like to make prime rib. I mean, you gave us a 20-minute tutorial a couple
yep.
weeks ago,
yep. Yep.
and you are so into it. And yeah. I learned some stuff from you.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. The only thing I didn't tell you, we make it a little bit. This is a factor. We have what they call a cambro. Do you ever hear of a cambro?
I have not.
It's not a cooking device. It's a holding device that we use to cater.
It's like a big thermos.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. But
okay.
it's so unique that if you put something in it at 119 degrees, 4 hours later, it loses 1 degree an hour. And there's no heat. You know, we have a lot of help that we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. And they go, well, what do you turn this thing off? You know, it's what it is.
Wow.
And seriously speaking, we cater out to Lakes region. I used to do that a lot up in Lake Winnipesaukee. Come back, and the food that was in that camper was still hot enough to eat good. So what I'm getting at, I'm going off, I'm drifting. The prime rib, when it goes in there, I'm going to put it in there after it's at 110 to 115, depending how jelly-like it is. It will just continue to cook it, but not overcook it. There's something about it. I can't believe it does it.
What is it lined with, glass or ceramic?
No,
or?
It's very thick. It's about an inch and a half.
Must be heavy. Huh?
Nope. It's plastic.
Really?
It costs a fortune. It's $300. Bucks.
Okay.
It'll take one prime rib. You can squeeze two, but you don't want it because you squish it. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's one prime rib in it. But
wow.
I've always said that makes a difference. You can do it at home by covering it, like I said, that hour. Let it rest. Be fine. And it's got its natural juice in the bottom, so it's like wicking from that, you know?
Yeah, you told us last time that you make a little bed of, I think, carrots.
Yeah, I use whatever I have.
That's what you're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, I will. Oh, yeah.
Instead of some kind of a rack that most people would...
No, I don't believe in a rack. I hate racks because you have to wash them. No, I started... That's how I started that. You know, I'm a self... You know, I did it myself. You say, why don't I put a rack in? The racks are hard to clean. Why don't I put some celery and carrots and onions or whatever we got? And I've always done it that way. And it elevates it. And it gives it that flavor.
And you said something, I hope, with the vegetables when it's all done, or are they too soaked up? Greasy?
I love the carrots.
Carrots are so delicious.
Oh, yeah. Carrots are good. I used to just throw them in here like that. We'd wash them and throw them in. After I started eating them, well, now I peel them.
Oh.
And right. Take the ends off. You know what I mean?
Right.
But no, the vegetables make a big addition.
So if Prime Rib Day goes well, could you think ahead to maybe another treat or two that maybe would be different than anything on the strip here?
It's very difficult.
Like a midsummer turkey or something?
There you go.
No, Thanksgiving in July.
Popped right in my head. It was turkey. Turkey is unbelievable.
And easy to make.
And the way I do it is different, you know. Should we go into that? Turkey?
Yeah, you know what? Let's take a break.
Okay.
Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk turkey.
The way
turkey.
I do it.
All right, we'll talk turkey. You're listening to Food for Thought live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and George is in the house, and we'll be right back talking about turkey. Ooh. Stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
WTPL, The Pulse, 107.7. Food for Thought is brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought. That's us. And Kalen Company, who's on right after us at 205. Also brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. Guests tomorrow include, we're going to talk some baking with Sue Lozier Robert, owner of Frederick's Pastry, and she is a delightful young woman. And we don't talk a lot about baking, so we'll have her in. And we'll head south to the great state of Delaware. Donna's Delights, always fun. Chef Patrick in for our final segment tomorrow on Wednesday.
Beautiful. All right. And we have Dad in house, and we're talking about tomorrow. Midtown Cafe will be serving some prime rib au jus sandwiches.
Come on down.
And a side, too, right? You said? You get a side with that?
You get a side with it.
Oh, yeah. Side and a free soda for $8.75. Yeah. So that's a great deal.
You know, free Coke, pretty good. It really makes a good value. That's what it's all about. Competition. Well, we're talking about price. You know, we look at these prices, they're low. But ours are right for what you get. You know? But, okay, let's switch gears to turkey.
Yeah, as another possible summer treat.
Of course
treat.
It is. Mm-hmm. Especially the way I do it. That's why when you said that, I thought of turkey, but I'm going with turkey. You think of the conventional on the table. Mm-hmm. See, I don't believe in that.
Okay.
I like to cook at home, and when the guests come in, I don't have to worry about it. So I always cook the turkey ahead. Sometimes I'll do it the night before. And I used to just reserve the night before, but the more we do it in a restaurant, it was better the next day. I always cut it. You know how hard it is to... How long are we going to cook it? I'd always cut it in half or break its back.
Right.
And at home, you can break its back and don't take it apart. I'd take the knife and I'd have two pieces, put it back together. You know what I mean?
For show purposes.
Just made me feel good. The thing was together. You know? And we won't go into the format that I totally believe in washing the turkeys very well. In and out. Get all that out of there. Get it out. Wash it. If a little bit of lukewarm, it's okay. Finish with cold. Makes a big difference. It's an old thing that my grandmother used to do.
Soap.
She did.
She used soap?
Out.
Oh, no.
She used to use soap to wash the skin. And she shot, look at all the skin. Look at that. And it used to come off. That skin was pure white. She used to, a little bit. She used to put a little soap in it.
Well, you don't do that, though, George.
No, I don't. Okay. I just believe in washing it very well and inside kind of liberally, not too liberal, but salt, pepper, all over inside. Makes a big difference. So if we miss the spot washing, we're going to be taken care of. But anyways, okay, now we're going to cook it. And it's going to cook very easy, very, very easy, because it's not a whole unit. And, we all know what the temperatures are. We can go with that later on. Just the way I prepare it, because I don't think we'll run out of time. We cook it very well at 350, And then I let it rest a little bit because it's hard to handle. Then you take it apart, get yourself a nice metal tray or a fiberglass tray with the edges, and you take it apart where it wants to come. Take this, all the two breasts with the knife. I'd follow the breastbone down, and there's a breast, and the legs, they all come out in sections. And then you let it cool back in a refrigerator. Reserve the broth, reserve all the good stuff, the celery, the carrots, the onions. That's the good stuff. That's a mirepoix, basic for any kind of soup or a nice gravy. So when you're taking it apart, you never notice how many pieces of dark meat you get. It doesn't end if you really do a good job. You know, the restaurants, I see them. You know, take it completely apart. All those pieces are the pieces for your gravies. All that little stuff is the flavor.
That's where the flavor is in
that's
the,
where it is.
The dark meat.
So I make an effort with that. Always, always did. And the next morning, all that is cool, and you should see the broth. The broth has got maybe a head on the broth of 2 inches of nothing but that pure stuff. So you know you're going to have a darn good gravy. Mm. And then I'd slice it with a very sharp knife. You can't put it on a slicer. I'd cut it all off. And the broth, I'd put maybe an inch and a half of the broth in the pan that I'm gonna place all the cuts in, and a teaspoon of chicken base. It's an amplifier. So it's to make sure it amplifies the flavor. And you cut it and you just lay it down all the breasts, nice slices. It comes out beautiful, and that leaves the skin on. You know, where it was crunchy, and it was. Just put on and put the two legs whole. Take the big part of the leg off, but leave the two legs. And it all be laid in there. And I'd add a little bit of water to it to bring it to the right level. I'd salt it a little bit more, very carefully. Pepper and some poultry. Poultry seasoning is very fabulous. And that's it. I call it, put it to bed. Put it back in the refrigerator. Hmm. Then, now that is in that broth. Talk about tender.
So it's further flavoring and marinating, huh?
Yeah,
it's,
you know what? We have a caller, and maybe he has a question for you, Dad. I'm not sure, but we have Paul from Dunbarton on. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Carol. Listen, George, I got a question for you. I tried this a couple Thanksgivings ago, and it's fabulous. You ever take your turkey and cook it breast side down, and then at the very end, the last, say, 45 minutes, flip it breast side up?
You know, I have not done it, but I'm telling you, I'm positive it works fine. I'm positive it works fine because it's going to, while it's cooking, it's really in that juice. And that's what it's all about.
Oh, it is. Yes. Because you know? If you take it, breast side down, that breast meat comes out so tender and moist.
Of course.
If you cook it upside down.
Right. But after that, do you cut it and put it in its broth again?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's the key. But you're doing the same thing. You're actually doing better. You're really doing that same idea. Surprising how many people ask me, you know, on Thanksgiving, I get phone calls and say, which way to put the breast down or up? I never know what to say.
Well, you're the turkey whisperer.
Conventionally is up, but you can put it down. It'd be fine. I remember Brian, my son, he stopped now, but he used to always call, is it up or down? No, it's up.
One time I did it upside down,
yeah,
and I didn't
you
know.
Did. You did.
I didn't
it
even
works.
Know.
It works fine. You know what I like about up is because it got that little bit of a crunch on the skin.
That's what I like.
You know, we're not supposed to, but we all do if it looks very inviting. Mm-hmm. You know?
We all pick at it.
But no, I'm glad that's a very good, interesting. But that way, the next day, the problem with the next day is you're going to do your potatoes. You got enough little things to do. You know, you won't worry about the turkey. No, you don't. You took it out an hour before. You're going to use it. It's just medium, just a little bit, unless it's a 90-degree day. Like July, we have to be careful. We can't do that. But you can't put it on high heat on the stove.
No, and the leftovers, you always put in the broth.
Exactly right. Well, you're right on point. You know what they're doing. That's good.
Got to hire this guy.
Comes out good. It comes out good. I'm glad to hear that other people are doing the same thing.
Yeah. All right.
George, Paul, thank you.
Same good.
Thank you, Paul.
Call anytime.
Very good.
Smart man. He's on the same wavelength as you.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Well, he's picked up some experience here and there, you know.
So there's a possible turkey in the future of Midtown
Cafe.
Yes,
we'll do
the
it
summer.
That way, the same way. It's so easy.
Yeah.
So easy. Just
You could have like a miniature turkey dinner.
But like
really?
I was saying, and Apostle Paul knows, if you put the heat too high on your stove, it's gonna turn. It's not turn. It's gonna curl. Mm-hmm. It's done.
Yeah.
You gotta put slow up to your temperature.
All right. So you're gonna cover it with foil and just let it kind of steam in its own heat,
just
right?
Just a little. Like you don't want
300 degrees.
If it boils, it's too much.
Yeah. So what temperature are you warming?
130.
Okay.
135.
So
it's hot. Real slow.
Okay. You could even do it on the top of your stove.
That's what I do.
Do it on the top of the stove, on a couple of burners, depending on how big your pan is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can play games and throw it in the oven covered in the same way. I think that would be, 275? And watch it, 260, 275 in the oven if you want to do that. Not worry about it.
Yeah.
But again, that's a whole learning curve, how long it's going to take.
Right.
No, you watch it. You keep your eye on it. Oh, okay, put it down.
Perfect.
That would be great. That's doable. We'll do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be the next time.
All right. Well, that sounds great. And we have bets going on for tomorrow. Mine is for running out of prime rib at Midtown Cafe tomorrow. Mine's 120. Yours, Mike?
104.
104.
Because I can go out and check during the news.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have.
Oh, I can, too, at 120.
That's true. And George, your guess was
130.
Okay.
All right. Good. What are we winning?
Free lunch on George.
That's it. Good. All right.
Did you have something to say?
No, the next time it's going to be a fried chicken, but not deep fried.
Ooh.
Totally different. It gets poached in oil.
Ooh.
For 3 hours at 350.
Okay. And that sounds good.
Details. I didn't try it yet. I'm dying.
Well, you
got
to try it and then tell us about it. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. Yum. All right. You're listening to, You were listening to Food for Thought. And Kale and Company is up next, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Bye.